Hey, what's up, guys? This is Taz. Thank you for downloading and or subscribing to this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. I'm going to break down Elimination Chamber for you, man. What a show. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I got to talk about Father's Day. It's coming, man. It's so close. It's just about here. And, you know, who's the toughest to buy something for, right? Your old man or some guy that you know that is a father, or maybe yourself. You buy something for yourself. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I learned how to shave from my old man. My dad taught me how to shave. My kid, I taught him how to shave. You know, so who better than for Harry's to give you, to you take care of you with a razor? Check this out. Just for Father's Day, listeners of my show are going to get $5 off the limited edition Father's Day set with my code TAZ. Check out what's in this set because they've upped their game here, Harry's. My boys at Harry's upped the game. Hear me through now on this. You're going to get the chrome Winston handle. You're going to get three of Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades. You're going to get that bottle of shaving cream or foaming gel. They're both lovely and outstanding. And you're going to get the Harry's, the new razor stand. Let me tell you about this razor stand. I love this friggin' thing. Okay, it's this little cube thing. You put your razor in. It sits erect. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, so Harry's hooks me up. That's my boys. So you go to Harry's, get this limited edition Father's Day setup for you. I mean, this is a great thing. It's a great gift for your dad, your kid, my dad, for anybody. Get it for somebody who knows it's a dad because it's Father's Day. Or get it for yourself. Get it for your chick if she wants to shave her legs and you like calling her dad. Whatever floats your boat, I don't know. Make sure you go to harrys.com and use my code. Enter my code TAZ. That's Taz. At checkout, get $5 off your Father's Day set. I'm telling you, man, go to harrys.com, enter TAZ at checkout.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
If you can survive, if I let you.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show
for the Celebrity Edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz, and as I said at the tippy-tippy top, going to give you a reaction to last night's WWE Elimination Chamber that came out of the great state of Texas. And, it was at Corpus Christi. Where was it, Seth? Corpus Christi? Christy?
It was Krispy.
He's mean to say. Where was it? Over there in Amarillo? Where
it was Krispy Kreme, Texas, yeah.
I've been over there to Corpus. I've been there. You've been there?
Not since breakfast.
You've really been nowhere. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a cool place. Right off the water there. There's a little water. Is that the water?
I think San Antonio's by the water.
No, I don't know. I've been to San Antonio. Actually, speaking of San Antonio, that's a whole other story. That's where Roar is tonight. Down the road, we'll talk about Taz in San Antonio. But I digress already. We're not even a minute in. I'm digressing. You know what I'm saying, Seth.
Yes, little nits.
Yeah, we're doing a little lit around there. Nits. So anyway, yeah, it was a crazy show. And but what's the deal? You're walking around a little messed up.
Now.
No, I know you're hot.
Back.
You're back. I was getting coffee in the break room over here at the lovely CBS Radio with the great folks here in Manhattan. And you're selling. You're at the coffee gimmick. Your back's hurting. What's going on?
Little League, reaching into the hatchback and...
You're still playing Little League?
Yeah.
God, you must be huge compared to those kids.
Dude, I hit home runs, like, they go bombs, like, I cleared their dirt in the infield.
Stud, dude. Yeah. Do they check you, like, if you're on the juice? Like, are you like the Barry Bonds of Little League? Or like,
I can't believe this kid has a goatee. He's 7. No, my 7-year-old playing Little League, and I had the 7-year-old, 2-year-old. I reached in the hatchback to get his baseball stuff, and my back just, you know, I was thinking about you. I was like, man, I can't complain to Taz. This guy's got, you know.
Yeah, all the bumps and selling that I've done my whole career,
right.
You know.
I've done. Well, you've had injuries at least.
Yeah, I've had injuries because I was doing moves myself and hurt myself.
Yeah, no, you bumped yourself, yeah.
No, I understand about back.
But, yeah, you know, my brother gave me a couple of Vikes, helped me out. I'm not on Vikes today, though.
Oh, so you're not doing a show on drugs?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
I had some caffeine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not on Vikes.
not Vikes.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Craziness, crazy. Well, so
yeah, I didn't take like 30. I'm not like, I didn't take 30 Vikes. I took like 2 over the weekend.
I hear you. Well, yeah, that'd be rare. I mean, I never heard of any wrestlers. I don't know much about those type of pain medicines. That's not really popular in the business that I'm from.
Yeah, you guys usually just
suck it up. Advil, aspirin, you're good to go.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so it sucks to see that you're injured, but actually, I got to tell you, I did giggle a little bit when I saw you about a coffee thing, like, hey, where's my bag? You just sound like a little baby. So I thought that was
all
funny.
All of a sudden, I'm Cartman, yeah.
Yeah,
my bag.
Yeah, but check this out, dude. So the Elimination Chamber, man, I got to tell you, for me, obviously, I think not just for me, but for everybody, the match that stuck out was the champion versus champion, Kevin Owens. I got to say Owens because some of you guys had given me some shniznit because I called him Kevin Owen. Listen, speaking, grammar, the English language, vernacular, none of that is my strength.
Right. You're not an English professor.
I don't do any of that stuff well. That's not my thing.
They knew who you meant.
Yeah, they know. Kevin Owens. Yeah. KO. Knockout. KO! You know what I'm saying? They know who I meant. Kevin Owens. Yeah, so Kevin Owens wrestled Cena. Kevin Owens, the NXT champion. And John Cena, the U.S. champion. They did a short build-up on Raw a little bit for this thing.
And SmackDown.
And SmackDown, thank you. But good stuff they did on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the match obviously stole the show. And when I was at breakfast earlier downstairs here in the city, you came in, Seth, and I did not buy you breakfast, and you made a...
Thank you.
You're welcome. You actually had a good statement you said to me that, well, what people are going to remember from that show how many years from now is this match.
Yeah, we're going to remember that Kevin Owens, the false finishes and Kevin Owens actually beat John Cena.
Right.
Clean. In the middle of the ring.
Correct. So there's no reason to go over the rest of the match because you just gave the finish. All right, so the next match was, no, I'm kidding. So the thing is, like, when Kevin Owens comes out, he gets, I was wondering what kind of reaction he was going to initially get. And I thought he had kind of like a mixed reaction a little bit. And then you heard a chant during it where they were going to fight Owens, fight the fans there. But I thought it was interesting when he came out. He had a new T-shirt, which is a cool shirt. I think it said Fight Owens, Fight On. The back said KO. I really like his shirt. I'm big into the shirt gimmick. But I really thought it was weird that the ink on the shirt, on the silkscreen of the shirt, was red, white, and blue. You know, and they were doing the things where he was stepping on a U.S. belt, you know, and John Cena's a U.S. champ. I don't know. I don't know if that was by design. I don't think so. I think they're just trying to give him colors that maybe no one's really using a lot. Even though he's from Montreal, I don't think he's going to run around being red, white, and blue guy.
True.
I don't know why. Maybe there was something there. Maybe the announcer should have mentioned something. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I look at little things like that because that stuff was big to me as a wrestler. What I wear, everything I wear, like Rey Mysterio. I'll give you an example. Rey Mysterio, whenever he'd wear something unique or whatever, he was going to dress like Daredevil, like his gimmick or whatever it was, he would always make sure he would come over to me and Michael Cole and say, guys, look, I'm wearing this gimmick tonight for this reason, yada, yada, yada. Most of the times, whatever Ray wore, not always because he had so many different color coordinations, he had a reason for it. So, I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent on this, but I don't know if there's a reason why Kevin's Owens shirt has red, white, and blue ink. I don't think that's the story of last night. Anyway, it's just an observation I made. So, the thing I was most intrigued about was how is this match going to go? Everybody was wondering about the finish. I didn't care what was going to happen to the finish. I got hung up in the wrestler end of it. And this is where I think I could bring a little bit of a different point of view than a lot of other people that do audio, okay? Because I was looking at it like, look, you know, winning and losing is important, you know, and it pole vaults guys at times. But I've said it several times on my show here that it's a different time now. There's so much wrestling content on TV, online, namely in the WWE, that wins and losses, no one remembers them unless the company reminds them, okay? And sometimes you have to remind fans. So I think that going into this match, I was thinking more of the style that Kevin Owens has, which I could have related to, and a lot of guys from my era, where he has a rugged, snug, as we call it, style. He worked very snug. Now, is he going to do that? Like, and I've even said it on here in the past about Kevin Owens before he was in the main roster. Well, look, he's stealing a show with him and Sami Zayn. Unbelievable stuff he's doing at NXT. Look at how stiff he's working. Can he, and I've seen him work, I've seen Kevin Steen work in Ring of Honor over the years, so I know he's got a reputation for being a little snug in the ring. That's not going to fly in the main roster. I've said that publicly. So that's, Seth, what I was intrigued with going into this match. And I have to say, The thing I was most impressed with, this guy, Kevin Owens, found a way to come off as he's working snug and stiff, but he's really not, because he didn't. He worked, I guess you got to be a wrestler to see the stuff he's doing. He worked a very professional style. His intensity level was super high, which is was his great. He's great at that, and that's the key to his deal. I get that. So he's selling the intensity without killing John Cena. I think if anybody was more stiff on who, it seemed like John was maybe a little more stiff on Kevin Owens.
See, I would have thought he was stiff because I don't see what you see, but
yeah.
And he also showed his agility in his high spots.
Well, I want to get into that. Yeah, I mean, man. Listen, I got to tell you the truth. Like, listen, I've watched Kevin Owens, man. Look, I've watched this guy over the years. I don't want to say I'm like the, you know, like I know every little thing about this guy's work in the past because I don't. I've watched him enough for Ring of Honor. But, yo, he went, I think he was on the second rope, and he twisted, jumped and twisted midair to the top rope and did a moonsault.
Crazy.
Yo, it was friggin', it was like Van Damme did it. That's how smooth it was.
He's very late on his feet.
I mean, unbelievable athleticism. Those supporters of Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen of old that love this guy, and I know there's a lot of you out there, I respect that, and I'm a fan of him too. So you could bash me because I didn't know he had that much in him. I got to be honest, as far as athleticism.
He brought it all last night.
Yo, he did some insane athletic stuff.
Was it like that driver off the top rope he did? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe
no,
it.
No, yeah. And look, I've always learned as a wrestler, what makes a great match is the partner. It's a dance. Wrestling's a dance. And you can't have a great dance if the guy's dancing great and the girl sucks. Well, if the girl's a great dancer and the guy sucks, that's like me and my wife. I'm a horrible dancer and she's tremendous. And I go out there, I do the hucklebuck. I do everything. I do all sorts. I do the moonwalk. I do the schmucky muck muck.
I would pay to see you do the moonwalk.
Yeah, the hucklebuck, though. It's a dance you should know. Yeah. So, for those honeymoon fans, but I digress.
Billie Jean's not your daughter. I know.
So, I got to say, man, I think John Cena needs a boatload, plethora of credit in this friggin' match. And for those, I saw somebody tweet about, you know, maybe those smart fans, the smart wrestling fans, the hardcore fans.
Give him some credit.
Well, yeah, we'll get off Cena's back. Look, you should have got off this guy's back a long time ago. This guy bust his ass.
I know he said that in the past, too. Like, you know, you need a good partner. And he hasn't had... They have good chemistry together.
They have great chemistry together. They don't have good. It's great, dude.
Yeah, first time.
Because, man. See, John is... What people don't know about Cena is how tough of a guy he actually is. John Cena is obviously a multimillionaire, okay, and very successful, and he doesn't scream blue collar, right, where Kevin Owens as a worker screams blue collar.
But he was.
Well, let me finish.
Sorry.
Yes, he was. Correct. That's why I do these shows alone. I don't, you know me.
I'm going to sit down.
I like to, you know, I like to hear myself. I don't really want to hear anybody else. No offense. So,
taken.
No, I'll go on for 20 minutes, then I'll let you talk for 30 seconds. That's
all
how
right,
we do
this. All
right, Tanae. well said. Touche. That was good. No, so, but the thing is, it threw me off. What was I saying? I've been hitting head too many times. Help me out, bro. That's what you're here for. Where was I?
So you were saying Cena can't be considered blue collar, but Kevin can.
Yes, but see, John, the way he came up and where he grew up. Guy grew up in West Newbury, Mass. Okay, he's a Boston kid. He's a blue-collar kid with several siblings, brothers. They're all tough kids. Dad, these weren't like, I don't think these were like very wealthy people. This guy did not grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth. This kid paid his dues. I remember when John came to WWE. I know how tough, physically tough. This guy was a football player at Springfield College. Okay, Springfield College is up in Springfield, Mass. It's a D2 program. And this is not exactly... Okay, Springfield, Mass. What's in Springfield, Mass? Quick.
Oh, Hall of Fame.
Basketball. Very good. I'm very impressed with that. So this guy, John Cena, he played... This is not exactly like he's playing for Harvard or Yale. You know, this guy not some yuppie kid that played, you know, some preppy college football. This guy was a blue-collar guy. Okay? And even though he's had umpteen amount of success, he still has that blue collar in him.
He busts his ass. Look at the shape he's still in.
That's right. Well, the guy's in amazing shape. Yeah. So, but he's tough. So a guy like Owens, because Owens is a big guy, okay, and he's a physical guy, you got to be tough and to work with a guy like that. You know, and you saw the clothesline, dude, that Cena gave Owens. Yo, he about knocked his head off. So Owens obviously is very tough. Because I've said it before out here. On my show, toughness to me is not measured by what you can physically do to someone. Toughness is right what you can take, right? So both these guys are rough, tough, big dudes, okay? But I got to tell you, to your point, Seth, watching Owens, his athleticism was awe-inspiring. It was amazing stuff.
And isn't it now time we can say the cosmetic era is, it's still good to be cosmetic, but you don't need it to be successful. I know we talked about Samoa Joe, like you thought in the past that maybe.
Yeah, JR gave him some stuff, wondering, you know, back in the day, Joe, maybe, hey, it's a cosmetic business, you know.
But if you can work, you can work. And if you Kevin Owens is like, to me, he could be the next Stone Cold in the sense that he's got that badass attitude. He doesn't apologize for it, and he's very direct, and he's intimidating, and he's just, I don't know, he just reminded me of Steve a little bit in the sense that, not same personality, but the same, like, I'm an ass kicker, and that's, I'm going to say what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it.
Well, there's been many, I humbly say, of us that have done that, okay? So
no offense.
All offense taken. But there's been many of, well, because you're a WWE mark, so that's all you would know. You don't know anything about what I've done. So... But well,
I was there in Asbury Park.
I tweeted about this.
Now, I was there.
Now I'm going to toot my own horn. Toot. Okay. Who was the first anti-establishment guy? Exactly.
Buddy Rogers.
Yeah. No, I mean, who was the first guy to flip somebody off? I did all that shit. I mean, who was the first guy to drink a beer? Sandman.
I was thinking, I mean, WWE.
Cause he's, of course, because you're a mark.
Because he's in WWE. That's why I thought of it. That's why.
I'm busting chops. Yeah, all the original EC Dub fans right now are laughing at you.
Yes, that's all right.
And people that are more WWE fans.
I was in Queens. I was at the Elks Lodge. Right, I was at Asbury Park. Leave me alone.
Stop bragging. You're always bragging about yourself.
Yeah, I was so cool. I was at ECW with a bunch of guys going, ECW. I'm the coolest guy ever.
So
you're all jealous because I was there.
Yeah. I'm telling you that you're bragging. I'm putting myself over like crazy. I'm telling you, you're bragging.
I'm such a puss, though. I never even went to ECW Arena.
Why?
I was scared to go to Philadelphia.
Queens wasn't much better, dude.
Yeah, I was fine. Queens was fine.
Philadelphia fans, I don't know. It's a toss-up. I was in the locker room, we didn't know who was going to be more rabid depending on the show. But it was like, I talked about that here in the past, too. It was like a rivalry between the audiences, like the New York crowd compared to the Philadelphia crowd. So I was a heel in Philly, but I was a baby face in New York. It's the weirdest thing. You know, because people in Philly usually hate New York guys. You know,
I put on WWE Network. I clicked on some ECW, and I watched Brian Pillman who's going to be pee in the ring.
Yeah.
He is freaking nuts, man. He was
crazy.
Great.
I told you, man.
So believable. Like,
awesome.
You thought, like, wait, is this real? Is he really losing his mind?
Dude, he was amazing. Yeah. I told you. We're going off course here.
Sorry.
No, it's no problem. You're not professional. Unprofessionals do that. So, and professionals like me get you back on course. So you talked about the false finishes. I want to say something about that. During the match, I was watching this, like near falls. If you don't know what a false finish is, it's a near fall, right? So 1-2 kick out or whatever. I thought at one point, I started to think, because there could be at times too many false finishes in a match. And I was wondering if I'm going to nitpick and critique one thing on this match, maybe there was just a little too many false finishes, but, you know, as I sit home and watch it, maybe not. I'm not in the audience. The audience popped on all of them.
Yeah, I was blown away by that match.
The problem is, it was the third match on the card. Okay, so what happens is, when you're doing all those false finishes, and you're the third match on the card, it's extremely difficult, not just to follow that, but for the rest of the night. And we'll get into that little later on in this show. Okay, but that's what people don't understand.
There was some good, the card was great, I thought, overall.
Yeah, did I say we're going to get into it later on?
Yeah, that's why I think we should. We should talk about it.
Oh, so right now you want to get into it?
No.
Okay. So I'm taking your lead now.
No, dude, it's your show.
You sure?
Yeah, we can still talk. We're done with this match?
I don't know, maybe. So
I don't think so. Can I say something about Cena?
Sure.
Real quick. Because, you know, you say he gets a bum rap and stuff. I think the reason why he gets that bum rap is not because of his work or anything else. Maybe a little bit. Certain things, because the matches seem to all look
similar.
Seem,
yeah. Be it's the hard. Same. You get that much push, you know?
But, like, because it's predictability from a fan's perspective. You know, like, we know Cena's going to come out, he's going to get beat up, and he's going to come back, he's going to win. Like, the same thing happened for 10-plus years.
Right.
I mean, people got a little tired of it. That's why.
Well, you look.
Still got to respect the guy. I mean, come on.
You talk about predictability, right? So, I agree. You have to respect the guy. Respect the guy for sure. Right. But the thing is, like, the more, if you're oversaturated, no matter who the talent is, no matter what company it is, that's going to happen. You know, and hence why years ago, you know, you would never see the champion wrestle on TV.
Kind of like what they do with Brock now. It's like
correct.
Old school.
He's
right?
An attraction.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, as a wrestling company or sports entertainment company, you can't cut a bunch of contracts on the roster like you're doing with Brock Lesnar, because you'll be poor.
Right.
You can't have a bunch of guys that don't have to work, that are going to work a limited schedule making high money. Because if you can get that, if I can get that deal, I'll get it right now, and you'll be sitting by yourself. But
sweet.
I'm just saying, no, it's hard to have a lot of guys with that type deal. But it's tricky from a writing creative perspective to keep guys fresh, not oversaturate guys, but keep putting the guys on, or the gals on TV that are bringing the numbers. See, that's the tough balancing act right there.
It's become a TV program, not just a wrestling company.
And for any fans out there, you or anybody else that think that this company or WWE or Ring of Honor or even Lucha Underground, obviously, or TNA, whatever they're doing, you know, if anybody thinks that these are not wrestling companies first, you're crazy. I'm sorry, TV companies first, you're crazy. It's all about the TV because the main money comes from the TV. So it's about TV. So I think the only one that's still doing a true full-time house show schedule is the WWE, because they have just a vast, big, deep roster, so they can do it, and they have the money to put on these shows, and they have they're a worldwide friggin', you know, household name. You know what I mean?
I was hearing something from someone, I can't remember somewhere, that if they're ever struggling in house shows. Domestically, they go internet. They just book an international tour, and boom!
Yeah,
huge cash over there for the company,
dude. Totally, they could do like these NXT house shows. They started to do a little bit. They were testing the waters in smaller venues,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, it was like old school ECW fan base or like Ring of Honor fan base. Smaller, intimate crowds. You know, rabid fan base. You
great
know,
for TV.
Oh, it's awesome for TV. For those that remember years ago. WWE was when they used to do Shotgun Saturday Night right here in New York City. Remember those shows?
I was at one of the ones in the club, Club Mercedes or something.
Club Mercedes, and
I
also Ring of Honor is running.
I peed next to the Rock.
Did you really?
I really did.
I'm very proud of you.
I talked to him. I was like, oh, this is weird.
And then you looked at him and said, well, I call you the Rock.
Should call you the Pebble.
Yeah. So, Ring of Honor is running Terminal 5?
Yep.
Well, that's where I believe some of those Shotgun Saturday Nights used to be booked.
This must be called something else at the
time. It must have been, yeah. Yep. And you know who, from what I understand, who got those buildings for the WWE, right?
No.
Paul Heyman.
Oh.
And that was many, many moons ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bring the info. So anyway, back to the Elimination Chamber. the thing is, man, I think that Kevin Owens more or less had his coming out party last night.
Big time.
And the announcers did a good job. They kept explaining that, you know, he's not some rookie. He's got 15 years under his belt. They kept explaining how dangerous of a person he is. And the more the announcers put that in your brain, the more you're going to believe it. And the more they're saying it, the more it's believable. They're doing a good job, all three guys.
And Jerry said he actually was in the ring with him.
He did. But I think earlier in the show, in the match, I could have sworn Lawler said he doesn't know much about him, and then later on he said he was in the ring with him. That could have.
Maybe get Kevin Owens and Kevin Steen mixed up.
Maybe. I don't know. You could look, as an announcer, I'm not going to be one to critique announcer because that could happen. You never know what's being told in your headset.
He called Michael JR, so Jerry might be.
He did. Yeah. Well, he could have been. You never know. King's not a drinker.
I know he's not a drinker, but you know.
But yeah, but look, I've made a lot of mistakes on the air live. It just happens.
True.
Whatever. You call the guy JR. Who cares? Whatever. He's worked with JR for 5,000 years.
I'm just kidding.
I hear you.
He's the king. The king.
Yeah, he's the king. So, but
thank you very much.
He said, Jerry Lawler said, when he said that he's been in a ring with Kevin Owens, I thought that was great because it was kind of a newer WWE superstar, newer school guy, and then Jerry Lawler, who's a Hall of Famer and an old school guy, saying he's actually been in the ring with this guy was great. I didn't expect that. I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know. I'm sure it was on some indie show somewhere. I don't know if it was where it was. I'm sure some of you guys are texting me right now to tell me where it was. But
it was in Annapolis, Maryland in 2004.
So why are you going to make fun of the fans like that?
No, it was me.
That's how you really talk. You're making fun of people, and that's how you talk. You're still playing Little League at 60 years old.
That's right.
So I thought it was a great match. I did. I thought it was a great match. It was great for both of these guys. Then they announced later in the show that you're going to get a rematch. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
At Money in the Bank. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's, you know, that's one of these things where, as a wrestler, it's like, cool, you're going to work with this guy again, but it's like, oh, God, how are we going to top what we just did? I mean, that's a tough thing as a competitor, but I think these two guys will pull it off. It's going to be interesting to see. I think people will be clamoring to see this match, which basically stole the show. I don't care. They didn't need gimmicks. They didn't need weapons. They didn't need a chamber. They didn't need anything. These two guys stole the friggin' show. I love the whole show. I did. I enjoyed Elimination Chamber. I thought the only match that was a little bit of a rough going, so we'll get into that a little later on in the show, was the Chamber match for the Intercontinental Championship. Okay, and but we'll get into that in a little bit. But the thing is, I thought that this match, champion versus champion, Kevin Owens versus Cena, stole the show. If the only knock I would have on the whole pay-per-view was the lineup. Not the whole lineup, where this was. This match should have just been semi-main event or something. I'm sure the WWE had their reasons why. I remember years ago, I've been there a long time. I know how vital the company, Vince McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie and Kevin Dunn, how vital the lineup is and the writing staffs. I know there's different writers there, but some of the same cats are still there that I knew. And look, the lineup, that means when, not the matches on the card, when the matches happen, when I say lineup. The lineup is vital. Everyone knows that behind the scenes in any company. And you can't always hit a home run on the lineup. I'm sure they had their reasons why this match was third. I don't know those reasons. I'm sure they I don't know what they are. I don't think it's the end of the world that the match was third. You know, some people on Twitter are like, oh, the match should have been first. I disagree with that. I don't think this match should have been first. There was a lot to follow. It's very tough to follow. You know,
definitely not first.
The storyline, the star power. You got the NXT champion versus John Cena's the U.S. champion. It's just, I don't think first works. I think semi-main is better. I don't think that I tweeted about this, that Neville and Bo Dallas had they followed them. That was the match right after it. And that's just the worst spot in the world. And I tweeted something like, what did I tweet?
You believe is a tough spot, something like
I
that.
I believe, yeah. It's just not the spot you want to be in the car. And people like loved that. I tweeted that and they thought it was funny, but I was ribbing and joking, but I was serious because, you know, in my opinion, the best match to have there, which is usually what happens, is females. Put the knockouts there, or in this case, the divas there. Put the divas in that spot because it's a different feel. And you had an excellent three-way match for the Divas title, you know, Nikki Bella, and we'll get into that in a little bit, you know, where she retained. But I think that would have been better after this match.
Makes sense.
In my opinion.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Where does Kevin Owens go from here? And, you know, it's like NXT is like almost like the training ground, proving ground for WWE, but those lines seem to be getting blurred a little bit because you've seen more and more NXT guys coming up. How long does Kevin Owens stay in NXT? He's got a budding feud with Samoa Joe.
I know.
So there's a lot. I mean, I guess he's going to be like a dual threat for a little while, it seems like.
Well, that's the beauty of it, and you're right. And they could do whatever they want, obviously. There's no set rule. They make the rules, and which is cool.
They got some ready-for-primetime guys in NXT. I mean,
you said it best. I don't think NXT is a training ground. You said after that, you said a proving ground. I actually like that, and consider that stolen, because I'm going to steal that.
But so I'm on your show, so you own it all.
It's like I said, NXT is a proving ground, right? So no.
Hey, Taz, look at the clouds.
I love the clouds. Please, share that with the people real quick.
Taz loves it. I say, who opened the blinds here, because it gets really hot in the studio. Taz says, I love the clouds.
I do.
And I started laughing so much my back hurt.
I don't like the sunshine. When it's cloudy,
that makes sense now.
I'm a miserable bastard.
Yeah, you're a gloomy motherfucker.
Exactly. So when it's cloudy, I'm happy. I don't have to say. To answer your question, where do they go with Kevin Owens? They go wherever they want. The sky's the limit. I mean, I think it would be okay if he dropped the NXT belt, on NXT. And then put him on the main roster. I think that would be what's predictable. But if he's going to serve both masters and use him as a catalyst to really elevate NXT, I think Triple H is more than intelligent enough to figure that out, if he hasn't already, because that could be what's happening.
Do you know that something that connects those guys, too? And Samoa Joe actually has a connection to both guys. Now he's starting something with Kevin Owens, and he broke in the business with Cena.
Right.
And there's so much you can go. So many places you can go storyline-wise.
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, it's really cool.
I totally agree with you. If Samoa would have walked out at the end of that match, no one would have been, they would have been going nuts, but they wouldn't have been shocked because of their history, because of what we've seen with NXT and stuff. Back to what you were saying about Kevin Owens and like you went off on a sting that he looks like Steve Austin, whatever you said.
It reminds me of Taz. It reminds me of the FCW.
No, stop. No. So he comes out. He's got a ripped T-shirt. He's got, like, kickbox shorts on, whatever he's wearing. You know, he's not the cosmetic looking. That's pretty obvious. He's a blue-collar, in-your-face, smash-mouth guy, which is great. There's been many of us like that before him, okay? Now, and that's cool. And some guys do it better than others. And then some guys get opportunities because they're in at the right time. And I think that's Kevin Owens right now.
Sure.
I tweeted about this earlier this morning. I can't remember exactly what I said. But because I was waiting for you because you were late. So I had time to tweet.
If Taz was in the city at 6 a.m. saying, where are you? It's like, Jesus
I'm always
Christ,
ready.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm hungry, bro. My people wanted this show last night. I'm late. Here's the thing. Guys like a Kevin Owens, I don't mean this in a disrespectful manner towards anybody, or guys like Neville, or guys like Daniel Bryan, and you listen, ultra talented guys, fans of the three guys I just named. I'm just naming those three guys. Very fortunate that the WWE is what it is behind the scenes now, as opposed to what it was in 2099, 2002. Trust me, okay? Because it was a shark tank. Okay, and there was knives everywhere, and some guys had really big, pointy, sharp knives with credibility behind them to the boss, and it was a cutthroat place. Unfortunately for me, as a wrestler, I was in that environment, okay, and I was prepared for it, but I didn't flourish. Now, I'm not being, because a lot of people are saying, well, someone tweeted me, not a lot of people, somebody said to me, again, paraphrasing, they said to me, you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, you see what happened to Kevin Owens, how awesome that was. But hey, Taz, for you on your end, you know, I remember you saying on your show that, you know, I knew I was doomed when I walked out in the garden, the place popped. You know, so this fan was tweeting me, kind of trying to see what I would think. You get what I'm going, Seth?
Well, because you came in with as a known, you kept your name, they just added another Z to it.
Right.
They took Daniel Bryan, he's Bryan Danielson. They took Kevin Steen and Kevin Owens.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
I think
they made it their own.
Yes.
Those guys, there was room
to
make it.
It was called you Pete. You just came out as Pete.
Yeah.
You might have a better shot.
But maybe. But the thing is, there wasn't an NXT back then. So
ECW was NXT,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah, but.
Because those big companies grabbed all you guys.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me explain what I'm trying to explain here.
Sorry.
So people understand. It's okay. Don't be sorry. It's there's more to it than I'm just trying to get it out of my face here. It's like
they couldn't mold you into the guy they want you to be for their company.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Please let me say it. Please worry if the audio level is good. Believe me, I got this end. So I got this covered, bro. I promise. So
sounds like.
Rhymes with no, so that was funny. No, he's doing a charades hand motion. You gotta say it was pretty good. No, it's like to your point. Yes, they had a you have an NXT. You could mold guys to where you want them, or change guys up a little bit. But even with NXT, they're not even doing that. They're letting guys be themselves. Back in the day, man, it wasn't like that. I, you know, not just me, many of us came in and things had to change a lot. You know, I mean, a lot. And we had to deal with a lot of wrestlers behind the scenes that had input and that was, you know, to be frank, were, you know, scumbags. And that's basically what it was. And, you know, I had juice in ECW. I could have buried guys, too, behind their backs. I got to tell you, I sleep well at night because I know I didn't do that. You know, I mean... I you know,
you just made me think that back in the day when you broke into WWE and there was WCW, companies were run very differently, right?
Oh yeah,
WWE's like sounds like they had a tight leash on everything.
Oh, yeah,
because look what happens when you don't. WCW, the inmates ran the asylum, right?
And well, that's true. Yeah, the boys ruin it, and that's always been the thing in the business for many years. The boys ruin it, you know. And as a stereotype of wrestlers, including me, you know, it's just that's what happens. You know, I got to say it's a different time now. And what I tweeted was. It's different now. It was a different environment back then when I came in. I didn't come in from an NXT. I came in outside of the WWE, You know, even though there's rumors that, that Paul Heyman was getting paid or that Vince McMahon owned ECW, he might have, but it wasn't public. Nobody knew that. I didn't know that for a fact. I didn't care. I just wanted to get paid and do my job and have fun, and that's what I did, and that's what I loved about ECW. But, you know, going into the WWE, it was a whole new world where if you go into an NXT, it's to your point, Seth, it's a great line. It's a proving ground. You get a chance to prove yourself. And Triple H and company and Stephanie, they're letting these guys and gals develop who they are and find themselves if they don't have themselves ready. Like a Samoa Joe, he don't need to find himself. They're letting him be Samoa Joe. You know, Kevin Steen came in as Kevin Steen. They just changed his name. He was the same guy. They just want to own the name, you know, I guess, for whatever their reasons, you know, for sure. Business. But so it's a different time now. So in essence, in a long-winded explanation, do I think a Kevin Owens is going to experience what I did, that I got deep pushed once I got the big pop and the big Kurt Angle Madison Square Garden thing? Listen, no. Kevin Owens is going have a plethora more success than I did as a wrestler, and the guy's going to make a lot more money than I did, and God bless him. Good for him. He's in at the right place at the right time, and he's got the talent for sure.
And you know what? I'm mad that I didn't think of it first, but some people on Twitter were talking about Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar down the road. I was like, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I think you'll see that down the road for sure. I mean, really, you know, there's a lot they could do, and they have the mind power behind the scenes of WWE to figure it out and book it right. You know, it's they're doing a great job, the WWE, with developing the talent the right way. They really are. And it just seems different. It just seems different the way it used to be, in a good way, for these young wrestlers.
Organic.
Organic, right? And it's...
And you can't teach that. I love those guys.
Yeah, they're good. It's not forced, you know what I mean? So it is organic. You know, they're not making you be someone you're not. That's what it seems like. I'm just talking from afar.
Except for the Ascension. They kind of forced that.
Well, that's a little different. That's a good point. But they looked better last night.
Yeah.
They did. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back, talk about the rest of the Elimination Chamber. I'm Taz. I'm letting Seth talk a little bit today. We'll be right back. So let me get this straight. It's May, and your fantasy baseball team's already in the toilet. Well, look, don't sit back there and second-guess yourself. Get back in the game and check out DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site where you can win huge cash prizes every day. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, no slogging through long season to collect your winnings, just instant cash, instant gratification. It's like a new season every time you play. Simply pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day just by playing fantasy baseball. That is nuts. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in huge at DraftKings. Now it's up to you, dude. Check it out. Hurry to DraftKings.com. Enter my promo code TAZ. That's Taz. TAZ to play for free. You can be part of a $300 million in cash and prizes awarded to you this season. That's nuts. Use the promo code TAZ for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. All right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. Your reaction to Elimination Chamber. It's actually my reaction. You're getting it. Basically, it's my reaction.
Look, Taz, you're in the clouds.
I'm in the clouds. That's the voice of Seth you hear in the background. He's a mark for himself.
I'm a mark for myself.
That's what I told him during the break. I told him, I said, you're a mark for yourself, dude.
Hashtag KFJ.
See, that means Kung Fu Jobber.
Kung Fu Jew. He calls me Jobber.
Yeah, because
I'll take either. I'll take whatever I can get. Well, something.
I'm not a racist. As long as you're on the radio, that's all you care about.
I'm underrated?
No. As long as you're on the radio. Because
on the radio. Who sang that?
Donna Summer.
There you
because
go.
You obviously are not a talented producer. Yes.
You took the S off Kevin Owens, and you added the S to Donna Summer.
I did. Wait, is her name Donna Summers? It's with an S?
It's Summer.
Oh, it's Summer?
You just threw an S on there. You took Kevin Owens' S and you put it on Donna Summer.
On the radio. Okay. Oh, I know that tune. Yeah,
sure do.
Yeah. Put on the lights. No, no, Last
dim
Dance.
All, dim all the dim lights. All the lights.
Yeah. How about Last Dance? Last Dance.
Oh, God.
Many weddings I've been to where they played
Sinatra's
that too.
Rolling over in his grave right now.
Sinatra. What are you talking about, Sinatra?
Because I don't know. You had a little Sinatra there.
It's a New York, yeah. Brooklyn thing. So anyway, I digress. That's
some
number three.
Hoboken.
So we got a drinking drinking. He is from Hoboken, right? It's Jersey.
That's right. Represent.
What if there's a drinking game every time I say I digress? But I don't say I digress that much.
Not enough to get loaded.
No, I know. Yeah. Depends on your.
Probably
your...
still drink and drive if you don't say it enough. You probably still get away with it. You could probably still blow less than a .8.
So back to the Elimination Chamber. So let's talk about the first match on that lovely show. I enjoyed the show very much. You did enjoy the show, right?
I did.
Yeah,
I really did.
And they kicked it off with the tag team match in the chamber. You know, and yes,
best spot in that tag team match.
Well, I like the little dude jumping off. The little guy, what's his name, El Torito, whatever. Anything that guy does, I pop. That guy's hilarious.
Great outfit.
I love the whole thing. As soon as he went to the top, of the, they didn't even hide it. He went right to the top of the thing. And I'm watching my kids going in and out of the room. He's like, Dad, I think he's going to jump off there. I go, you think? He's standing there the whole show. Oh, whoa, watch that. So anyway, yeah, with the best spot in the whole thing.
I just really liked one spot in particular.
Right, Callisto, when he jumped off the top of the chamber? No, when he was hanging off the top of the chamber.
Yeah.
That was okay. It was dangerous, man. That was a dangerous deal.
You'll call me a Mark for...
I'll call you a Mark for anything.
For Cesaro, but his drop kick while one of the New Day was sitting on the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He's a tremendous athlete.
His drop kick was like on a diagonal.
That's Cesaro. Yo, he's legit. I mean, again, another guy that was in Ring of Honor. I remember seeing him in Ring of Honor, man. Amazing. Just tremendous, tremendous talent. And I have people treat me sometimes when he comes out with a black towel, he's got the beats on, he's wearing a mask, he's wearing a handkerchief. Mr. Cesaro, you don't need any of that.
No.
You are big, strong, you look legit, you are legit, you're a friggin' tremendous talent. You're 10 times better in the ring than I was. You don't need beats, a towel, a hanky, a skirt, a kilt, a whip, a dog, or a cat. You don't need it. Just walk out and work, Matilda. Just walk out and work, Mr. Cesaro. That's all you need to do. The guy's tremendous.
10-foot drop kicks, man. Jesus
the guy's unbelievable athlete.
Talking about defying gravity. Yeah.
He really is. Ooh. Just tremendous. And Tyson Kidd's great with him.
It's just a
great team. But, you know, it's interesting. They had in the pods to kick the thing off. It was like primetime players in the pod, Los Matadores. Well, they were in a pod. New Day, the champions, they were in the pod, Cesaro and Kid. And the Lucha Dragons kicked it off with Ascension. Now, I'm a big Lucha Dragons mark. The Ascension.
The Ascension.
Okay. So, I got to say, like I said earlier, they kind of had a little bit of they did a better job last night. I think WWE used Ascension a little better.
I think they were almost like they weren't as physical early on. You know, they're almost like they're playing a little too safe. Now they're letting themselves go a little bit far physically, I feel.
Well,
like.
They're not in control of that.
Right.
But I get your drift. You got to do what you're told. You can't just go out there and work the way you want. So I'm talking about the character. Like the way the characters were pushed, they were used better. And, I don't know. I think that you know, maybe I thought they were going to be buried once they did the thing with the older teams like the APA and New Age Outlaws and all these guys beat them up or whatever. I thought they were kind of going to be out, meaning the Ascension, but I was wrong. And I hope it works out for these guys. I think they did a good job last night. In my opinion, I think the WWE should slowly segue out of them wearing a Road Warrior-esque type of look. At least change the colors. Road Warriors always wore red and black for the most part.
Yep.
At least change the colors or maybe get rid of the paint or the shoulder pads, something. I just think, just my opinion, I think creatively let them have their own identity. I mean, no one, you know, I think what they were trying to do, WWE, with them was maybe have a throwback team, like a new version of Demolition or the Road Warriors or something like that, which is kind of cool on paper, you know? It's a good idea, a good concept, but it was too much of a Road Warrior ripoff, and... arguably the greatest tag team in the history of our business of all time.
Besides the Brainbusters.
Well, why don't you explain why you said that?
We had fantasy draft tag teams, and Taz had Arn and Tully, the Brainbusters. Well, they weren't always known by the Brainbusters as number one over the Road Warriors.
And you had you and Mike Tenay had the Road Warriors number one.
But you explained it well, so.
I did explain
it
well. Who was my number two? The Road Warriors.
Yes.
I was a huge Road Warrior mark. I'll tell you a quick story. I got heat when I was in college. okay, playing football.
You went to college?
Yes. And we were getting on a bus. We were going to play Salisbury State. Not state. Salisbury State in Maryland. Not the really good D2.
Not Sean Salisbury.
No, no, no. Please, leave the jokes for the funny people. We got to find one. So, and I, we all had to wear, like, our you know, T-shirts and our shorts, travel. We didn't have to travel in a suit. And I had on my shorts. Our colors were green, like the Packers, green and gold. I had on my green shorts with my number on it and all this stuff. And I'm wearing a Road Warrior T-shirt with no sleeves, getting on a bus. Head coach stops me and goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm getting on a bus. Goes, where's your shirt? I go, ah, you can't say I didn't wash it because they do the laundry for you. It's in your locker. I go, he goes, why are you wearing that? I go, I felt like wearing it. It's like a good luck shirt. He goes, good luck. You're not going to play. He benched me because I didn't have the shirt on.
That's why you buried the Road Warriors. Yeah. you're still hot at them.
So I had a Road Warriors shirt on, and I was pissed. You know, I had a bad attitude when I was a kid.
No.
Me. Yeah. So that, anyway, so. My point is I love the Road Warriors. I did. And amazing, amazing, amazing team. I just, on the tully, I just thought we're able to work with anybody, everybody, where the Road Warriors are different. So the Ascension, I thought did a really good job last night. I thought they looked good. I think the Lucha Dragons are just made guys. New Day won the match. They retained their titles. It came down to the primetime players of New Day. Speaking of the primetime players, yo, let me tell you something. Titus O'Neil, oh, this guy's an animal.
Big boy.
He's
a hoss.
Friggin' tremendous. Just a tremendous athlete. Yo, I'm talking straight up strength and power and intensity. I mean, real deal, man. Real, real deal. Just very impressive. I really was.
And they did well, the primetime players in the
match. I'm going to tell you something. I think so, too. My only negative comment on his partner.
Darren Young,
thank you. I think sometimes when he's down selling, now look at me, I'm someone going to talk about selling, but this is a training thing.
Yeah.
When he's mad or something happens when he's selling, he bangs them, he punches the mat like in frustration too much. Like, I'm hurt. I can't get out of this pain I'm in. Like, that, I'm just psychoanalyzing his selling. Sure. And watch him when he does this. Like,
it's going to be more natural. It seems like it's too much of a go-to.
If you're in that much pain, you're not going to punch the mat because you're in pain. It's not going to happen. If I kick you in the yam bag right now, okay, you're not going to punch the table. Oh, that hurts so much. Oh, that, you're going to hold your sack in pain.
I'll probably cry.
Well, you're a little leaguer.
Yeah.
We went over that already. Little leaguer. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I thought that I thought primetime players did really well in this thing. New Day ended up winning the bad boy. They really protected Titus O'Neil in that finish. The finish was very unique with the New Day all were incorporated in the finish.
Yep.
I remember what he did. It was a little confusing, but it was cool. Like, he had him in a Schnabus Fernum, and then here comes a kick or something. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they schoolboyed Titus.
There was a school, yeah, but there was a kick. He had Titus was on the offense. Man, I'm drawing a blank. There was so much. That was the
first match. They laid out Kofi, I think, right? And Darren was on top of him.
Yeah.
Or Kofi, somebody schoolboyed him, yes.
There was something, the way it was done. His leg was there was something going on. I mean, I can't remember. I didn't write it down. You know, I am with taking notes. But I did think that it was definitely a good job, and somehow, some way, New Day ended up retaining, yes.
I thought of you when I was watching the match.
Why? What happened?
Big E's belly to belly outside.
Oh, please.
No, it's good?
It
looked good. He's strong. He's
no,
strong
it's good. Guy. I'm not saying his belly, but it's just it's a power thing. What are you going to bring this up for?
Oh, I didn't mean I want to start a whole suplex thing.
I don't
want to
talk about suplexes because it's different.
I'm saying I thought of you.
I think it was a cool spot he did on the steel ramp thing. And it was cool. He did it good. He cleared his guy and all that. But it's different. He's powerful.
Yeah, he is.
You know, my suplexes, they was the technique. It was more,
I didn't say he was better than you.
Why? Yeah, but you were implying it.
No, I'm not. I just said I thought of you. I said nice belly to belly.
You know I'm having a hypersensitive morning.
Jesus,
you know how I am.
Christ.
I'm very hypersensitive.
I thought, man, if Taz was in there, it would have been 10 times better.
Yes! Yes! No, I'm joking.
Me!
I love that. So, anyways, then they did some other stuff, boom, 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 and then we saw a little package because they were talking about Rusev was out. Remember, they made an announcement earlier that he messed up his foot, and they had the B-roll. They showed it from SmackDown, which he broke his foot. They told the truth. They showed it. They showed
very
him
cool
on crutches. Real cool. Let me tell you from experience, my friend. I wrestled barefoot for a lot of years as the Tasmaniac. Okay, Rusev wrestles barefoot. Oh, I don't know who else wrestles barefoot right now. He might be the only guy, I think. People don't even realize he's wrestling barefoot. I did this for a long time. Let me tell you, your heels on your feet get smashed on a regular basis. My feet, the reason why I wrestled barefoot was part of the gimmick, the Tasmania thing, it fit. But the other reason was I, you know, had an extensive judo background. So my feet, despite sound gross, were calloused. I had a lot of callus on my feet because of all the training barefoot as a judo player. So, you know, to me it was an easier thing for me to do because my feet were calloused and they were kind of, you know, hardened. So, but I've hurt my heel. And I saw the way he fell, and I never broke my foot or broke a heel, which is a bad injury. It takes a long time to heal. And he's a big dude, you know? I mean, it takes a long time to heal, H-E-A-L, when you break your heel, H-E-E-L.
And you, like, are a heel.
I am a heel, not a tall heel. That's H-E-E-L, U-N-C. I'm a heel like a bad guy, H-E-E-L. And people say I don't have good diction and grammar.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable. I'm so impressed. So anyways, I thought it was good they told the truth on that thing right there. I really did. Did you?
What about it? And then they showed Rusev's tweet. He's like, oh, won't let me wrestle. We put back home, we put duct tape on and fight.
I forgot about that.
It was great.
Yeah, duct tape always gets a pop.
Did you see the pre-show a little bit? Lana, I did.
Yeah,
questions?
I want to ask Lana many things. But
She's acclimating herself to the American culture. It's very nice.
Did you hear what she said, bro? It was funny. I popped what she said about Ziggler. She goes, well, he Snapchat and he...
Snapchat, yeah.
I'm getting to know him. Snapchat and what else did she say?
Instagram.
Like, yeah, like she's implying like he's sending photos of himself. It was funny when she said it.
Yeah.
And even the guy, Todd Schnabitz, popped on it, which is named Phillips, right?
I don't know that guy's name.
Phillips Screwdriver. Tom Phillips.
Feldman?
How do you...
Is his name a Sid?
Sir, you're forgetting. We got Johnny Brennan to do it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I forgot my shoes and my glasses.
I was very hurt by her words.
Very, very hurt. So then we went into that Diva three-way title match, dude. Nikki Bella is the champion against Paige and Naomi.
And very athletic, the way she jumps.
Oh, she really is. Sick athlete. Physical match, dude.
Yeah.
Very, very physical. I like this match. Nikki ended up pinning, I think she pinned Naomi with the rack attack. Rack attack. But I got to say, like I said earlier.
I'd love to get a rack attack.
Easy, easy. Yeah. I thought that this match would have been perfect after the Kevin Owens and John Cena matchup, as I said earlier. But these girls, these three ladies, these three divas, I thought did a tremendous job. I thought for a second when Nikki's sister came out there, when Brie came out at the end to celebrate, I started getting the feeling, wow, I thought she was going to like turn on it. It was like a really weird thing.
They already did that.
No, I know they did. I know, but so what? Yeah. Stuff in wrestling has never been done twice?
Never.
I mean, please. No, never, ever. But I had a Mark moment. I don't have many of them. Let me enjoy my Mark.
Mark!
Mark moment.
We need that for the show.
I think that...
this is your Mark moment.
I thought they were going to turn on each other.
And that's been your Mark moment, brought to you by Harry's.
Yes, use Harry's. Three engineered babes from Germany. All right, so anyway, the thing is, man, I thought that this Diva three-way match was a tremendi, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, did you like the match?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah.
Physical, man. I mean, physical.
And they've all been improving. You know, all the girls, especially those three, have gotten better and better. I think Nikki's come miles from where she started wrestling.
It's reps, you know?
Yeah.
I remember when I was in the WWE, both Nikki and Brie came in the company, and they were green, you know? They were, you know, they were eager, though. They were very eager girls, and I kind of was getting ready to get... I was kind of leaving WWE. I'm trying to remember the year they came in. I don't know. But I know they were there when I was there, and that was... I was there how many years ago? 7 years?
Wow.
6 years? I don't know. You said 3587. You know,
yeah. That's 8675. Oh.
So, did you think that they were going to have Nikki retain?
I don't know. I guess I wasn't as invested, I got to say, in that. So I was just watching the match. I wasn't thinking about if there's going to be a title change. And I don't think those other two are strong enough yet to take the title. I think Nikki's real strong right now.
You don't think Paige was? I mean,
She was champ. I just don't, character-wise, I don't know. I just don't think they're that,
okay.
I guess, over, or whatever you want to say. I don't know. I just didn't think so, no.
Well, you have your opinion. You're entitled to it, even though it is wrong.
Of course. Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, of course. We know this. And then,
the more wrong I am, the more right you are.
And then, then we went, I guess, first champion went over that, Kevin Owens versus John Cena. Tremendous matchup. I mean, show stealer.
Yep.
No knocking any other town on the show, but it was definitely just show stealer. And I want to talk about the announcing a little bit. I thought at this point in the show, all three men, Lawler, JBL, and Cole, did a good job. I really did. I even, by the way, speaking of JBL, I tweeted about during a pre-show, he did an Elimination Chamber like Tor, like, and they plugged it earlier in a match that they had on the show. Zack Ryder wrestled
Stardust.
Thank you. And Cole plugged that JBL would do a tour of the Elimination Chamber. I'm like, wow, I like it. Good idea. You need more of that. And I tweeted kind of something basically saying, you know, there are many announcers, many commentators, but there are you know, I'll take the ones with the credibility. Sure. So you give me someone like JBL who's been in that chamber, you know, talking about it, giving you a tour. To me, I'm sold. That's great. To me, commentators, maybe I'm old school or I'm biased, obviously, should be former wrestlers. Not only former wrestlers, but guys that have been champions, guys that drew money, guys that have been to the top, no matter what company. And maybe that's self-serving on my end, but I believe in that. I do. I think the young guys that they have on the pre-show are good and that do NXT, but it's tough. It's tough to compete against, you know, experience.
What's his name? Graves? Corey Graves?
Yeah, guy looks great, speaks well. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, his career got cut short due to injury, you know. I think he's excellent.
And as a fan, we love the behind the curtain, right? So we love the JBL showing us the Elimination Chamber. We love seeing Rusev legit getting hurt and showing how to take care of his foot and everything.
Well, that's what I was saying about, like, TNA back when, man. I thought that the concept they had when I was there, they were getting ready to do it, was really, you know, peeling that curtain back, to use that cliche, showing you more stuff, and the way they were taping stuff was better. And so I don't know, but then, you know, wheels, wagon fell off. Another, I digress, and we're moving on.
Okay.
So then, after champion versus champion, the toughest spot on the card was Neville versus Bo Dallas. This was a very, 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 very tough spot.
You believe that?
Yes, I believe that. You know, Neville won the match in a good match with the Red Arrow.
Yep.
I mean, and they replayed it a couple times. Amazing the way he does it. Bo Dallas is just, his charisma is great. There's something about the kid. You gotta like the guy.
Talented.
You know what
kid.
I mean? He's talented, man.
I hate to say it, but I think I've said this before a while ago. He loses a lot, right? And I know wins and losses and everything. I just feel like...
You just feel like what?
I feel like eventually Bray's gonna come in and is like, brother, you're lost. You need to come with me. You know? It's like,
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I see it. I don't know.
A guy like Bo Dallas needs to lose. Okay, we talk about winning and losing. I talked about that. It's not that important. And somebody like a Bo Dallas, it's actually important for him to lose as much as possible, because that leads to the gimmick. That's the gimmick. You gotta believe he's still positive.
Right.
It's funny. It's entertainment. He's Teflon.
True.
He could win. He could lose. It's like back in the day with Sandman or Tommy Dreamer. Those guys, they were baby faces. They could win, lose. It didn't matter. People were behind them no matter what happened. That's the great... They had to protect when I lost. Paul had to really be careful when I lost because, you know, I was built up such a certain way. I had to really, you know, that's why I would do it one job every, you know, 2, 4, 6 years. So,
I bought in. I thought, man, he's badass.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, people like giving me shiznit, you know, because I wasn't losing. I'm like, let me see, your boss is going to pay you a lot of money, push you to the moon, and you're never going to lose, and you're going to complain? No, it's like John Cena. Well, John Cena's spoiled. Okay, John, you're going to make millions of dollars. We're going to do a bunch of merch on you. We're going to push you to the moon. We're going to do all this with you. People might hate you because they're envious, jealous, or disgruntled towards you.
Like you are.
Yes. Do you want that, John? What's John going to say? No? No, he's going to say yes. It's called becoming successful. We do this to make money, guys. This is a fun business. It's a great business, but it's a business. Guys are in this to make not just a living, but as much money as possible, because your shelf life, you know, you don't have a lot of years. I left the ring in my late 30s, my early 30s. Well, mid-30s.
Some kind of 30.
I'm something like 20. So, So anyway, a tough spot for Neville and Bo Dallas. Really, really tough spot. But, you know, I don't think the lineup did them any justice.
You notice it's like those are three, you know, Kevin Owens, and they got Neville and Bo Dallas. Those three NXT guys.
Oh, dude, get used to it, brother, because you're going to see it on this card. It's going to become... You know, we're not going to say in the near future NXT guys. They're just going to be WWE guys because... That's what
the Bo Dallas is considered. Nobody talks about him NXT. That once in a while they
good
mention
point.
It.
Good point. You got one good point.
Yeah. Yay!
One for the month. Then we went on to the Intercontinental Championship title match in another Elimination Chamber. Again, no Rusev. So they sold. Oh, who's going to be the replacement? Who's going to be the replacement? And it was Mark Henry,
the world's strongest man.
What was your opinion about Mark Henry coming out?
You know, I like Mark Henry. I loved when his push as champ. You know, he had that Hall of Pain and you know, but he's been around a long time, so it's just like, it wasn't much of a surprise, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even though it was okay. I mean, I like Mark personally and professionally. I think it was a good spot for Mark.
Sure.
I think people believe in him, you know, because he's such a, he is the world's strongest man and all this stuff and the push he's had. But I do think it could have been a good spot to maybe debut someone new. But here's the negative on that. If you debut somebody new, okay, hypothetically, I'm not saying this would be the right guy, so don't kill me here, people out there. I'm just... First thing to pop in my head. No, stop being a douche. let's say it was Tyler Breeze from NXT. Let's say you debut Tyler Breeze here. It's probably, it's a cool moment. It's a cool pop for this new guy, NXT guy, all this stuff. You know, more new blood. But now, you can't debut a new guy unless he's going to become an Intercontinental Champion. You can't debut him and then stick him in a pod.
True.
See, so that's probably why Mark Henry was a better fit. He's credible. You never know what he can do.
So these guys just on standby, guys like Mark Henry. I mean, you tell me from behind the scenes. You know what I mean? It's like, because, you know, we haven't seen Mark Henry that much lately. All of a sudden, boom, there he's just waiting.
You're an independent contractor.
Yeah.
Okay? You get a certain amount of dates you're going to work per month. And sometimes they go over that. Sometimes, and you get make more money. Sometimes they go under that. He's not on call, per se. In this instance, I think he was. Just, he probably wasn't booked on the card, obviously. They had a last-minute issue because Rusev couldn't work. They knew Rusev was hurt, and they probably told Mark a couple days ago, listen, dude, you're going to have to step in. And what's Mark going to say? No?
Sure.
Say, I'm in. No problem. It's a payday. I'm a company guy. I've been in the company for years, and I would love to be there. Of course.
So do they always have a backup short list?
Of course.
You know?
It's like any sports team would do.
Do they let the guys know they're on that backup list? Hey, we might, you know.
No. I've never been told that.
Right.
I've had to replace guys with injuries. I've had to be replaced on injuries when I was injured. So you never told that. Again, it might be different there now. I mean, no. Not that I'm a good question, though. But no, well, you're 2 for 2 today.
Woo.
2 for 2 for the douche. So
I thought I was a KFJ. Now I'm the douche. That's true. I don't know if people can buy my shirt saying the douche.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, man.
True. I'll buy a box of them. So there might be one in the box, but I'll buy a box. So So Henry comes out. Mark Henry, he replaces Rusev.
Henry.
He goes right in the pot. Sheamus comes out. Love Sheamus. I love this new look on Sheamus. Love the push. He goes right in the pot. R-Truth right in the pot. The big Ryback right in the pot. And they kick it off with Wade Barrett and Ziggler. They go at it. I mean, cool spot in this match where Mark Henry, the pod broke.
Yeah.
Remember?
Do you remember? Yeah, no, he's I do remember. I'll tell you what happened. He's like,
I saw it. You tell me.
I'm coming out. He's like, no, you're not coming out. Go back in the pod. I'm in the pod. I'm out of the pod. What are you going to do with the pod?
Well, here's what happened.
No pod can hold the world's strongest man.
Well, the pod breaks because Barrett threw Ziggler into the pod.
On purpose or... What do you think?
My opinion, the pod broke on a shoot. And now, because Mark Henry did the right thing by coming out a little bit, this is what I think happened. You know, I'll be a stooge. Sorry, just my opinion. Mark didn't know what to do in defense of Mark. I got to stay in here.
Right.
And then the ref got word, tell him to come out. And then the ref tells him, come out and go to work. And frankly, I think, because this match was probably the only match of the card that was a little bit of rough goings. It wasn't a great match.
And who knows if he was even the next guy to come out.
I don't think he was.
Right.
I really don't think he was. And that's why kind of the wheels fell off the wagon a little bit in the match. It's tough to ad-lib. Mark Henry's more enough of a professional to ad-lib in a match with no problem.
But in a chamber.
I mean, a chamber with all these guys, it's like there's a lot of bodies. It's a very difficult match to kind of ad-lib in that regard. And I think that they did a little bit. But at one point, I think JBL, one of the announcers said... I can't remember what he said. Don't quote me, but it was something like it's. I don't think it was his turn or something like Mark Henry's turn. I don't think he was even supposed to be in a match right now. Something like that, you know. I can't remember how he worded it.
It's supposed to be random though, right? So we don't supposed to know who's supposed to go next.
Yeah, but what did he say? What did JBL say? Or was it?
Can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But it was something like that was triggered me a little bit. But it ended up coming down to Sheamus versus Ryback, and it just shocked me. I thought Sheamus was going to win the match. And a new Intercontinental Champion, congrats, man. Ryback wins the thing. I mean, I really was really shocked with this. They had Daniel Bryan sitting ringside, which was a cool little thing,
yep.
Where he's going to hand over the IC title because he never technically lost it. He had to hand it over because of injury or whatever. And I thought that was cool that he sat ringside. I thought that maybe we could see him a little more ringside. I kind of forgot he was there. Maybe they wanted you to forget he was there because of the bit they did at the end or whatever. But
it was,
you know,
cool at the end, too.
I thought it was very cool. You know
what I like, too? I like the way he calls Ryback. He calls him the Ryback.
Yeah, it's like Adam Lee called me the Taz. Yeah, so you know, something I will never forget. And that will be a Taz Hill coming up one day, trust me. So, yeah, but I thought this match was a little clunky. I did, and
a little disjointed.
I think you got you got different personalities in the match, which it's you got a Mark Henry, you got a Sheamus, you got an R-Truth, you got a Ryback, you know, and then you got Barrett and Ziggler. You got three guys, in Mark Henry, Sheamus, and Ryback that are monsters, physical monsters. You know, a guy like R-Truth and Ziggler that are a little bit smaller, that are super athletic guys, and a Wade Barrett that's leaner, quicker athlete, but big guy too. It's a lot of, it's a potpourri of different body types and physicalities.
Yep.
It's a little rough.
Those matches go either way. I mean, the tag team one went really well.
They did.
Those guys have all been working together a lot.
Yeah, too. Well, that's the thing. This was a little different. And I do think that pod breaking impromptu was a shoot, and... And, you know, I think that kind of things got a little funky in the match at that point. And also, you understand, this is what I talked about earlier, man. It's like, even the main event, you know, the main event, you know, with Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, right? So even with that, look, I don't think that was like a 10-star match. It was good, but the energy, those guys worked hard and all, you know, and they did a little swerve at the end, which we'll get into, right? Swerve. It's called JR.
You can't, actually, you're not allowed to use that word anymore because that's a new show coming on WWE Network.
I can use it.
I don't know.
Why can't I
use
it?
Well, you're friends with them, so.
Yeah, WWE doesn't hate Taz.
Right, no one hates
you
Taz.
You know that. No, people hate Taz. Come on.
People hate Taz.
There's people on this floor we're on that hate Taz.
No. Maybe.
There's people here at CBS that hate Taz.
You should digress right now.
So there's many that hate me.
You're a monster.
Oh, God, I got so many things I want to say, but I'm trying to be a gentleman.
You're not an animal. So you're a human being.
What I'm saying is, I think the energy of the show, it was tough to keep the energy up after Cena and Owens. I really do. It was
that was
tough.
A main event type match,
it
right?
It really was. And that's okay, man. That's okay. That's the cool thing about wrestling, about sports entertainment, and the way you got to ride it, the way these guys ride it. They live and learn. I don't think Vince McMahon is mad at anyone or Triple H or Stephanie. No, it just happens. You don't live and learn. It's just they tried something different. I was surprised that match was third. That's all I'm saying.
But how many pay-per-views that are not the big four are that memorable where you'll remember a match years to come? Not in a long time.
Good point.
Now this Elimination Chamber, this is a... Wow, remember when Kevin Owens beat Cena in that crazy match?
I mean, yeah.
It has a memorable moment. It's, you know, sometimes you're lucky to get that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. And
well, if Ambrose won the title, then that would have been a second memorable moment.
Yeah, but you have... they had, like, to your point, they had several memorable moments, and then the little swerve at the end, which I thought was cool, because they went on with it for a while that Ambrose was the new champ.
I bought in.
You know, once I saw the second ref, I'm like, oh, boy. You know, and I knew something was up, you know. But they kept going with it for a while. The announcers were going home. All right, new champ. I'm like, all right. Every second that goes by, all right, you got me a little more. And then the other shoe dropped. But when the other shoe dropped, the way they ended it, going off the air by Ambrose, in essence, saying, hey, I won the match. I'm taking this title, this actual belt. That was cool, because it wasn't like no one was shitting on what happened. It was cool, and by having Big Man come out, it just
Reigns
comes out. Roman Reigns, the place exploded. He got a great pop, and he was awesome. He was very intense. It was great.
Didn't have a match, right? Now
he didn't have a match. They showed him earlier. And remember, Triple H told him, look, bro, you're going to sit back here. My man's going to get DQ'd if you come out and get involved or whatever. So, you kind of forgot about Roman Reigns. The announcers did a good job by not mentioning him. And that's what you want to do. Again, bringing you guys behind the curtain. You don't want to mention Roman Reigns.
They want to give that heads up that he's coming out. Although, as a fan, you know.
No, fans want to hear it. But what we say is, what I call it, is an angle alert.
Not only to hear it,
you're
but
not
as
even
a
listening.
Fan.
You just blew me off.
I heard what you said.
Just
I know you.
I'm giving you inside stuff. You blow me off.
I got it. You don't want to give
it fans,
away.
So, fans, you could thank Seth, the KFJ.
No insight for you.
No more insight for you. Thank Seth. You could set. You could tweet him at SethTwitter.com, whatever your Twitter is. That's Seth
Schnabitz.
Yeah. So, no, what I'm saying is that you don't mention that Reigns. Oh, wow. You know, you don't say nothing about Reigns, because then when he comes out, it's oh, I forgot about Reigns. You want people to forget about him.
But as a fan, when you see Noble and Mercury and Kane, you're like, you know, eventually he's got to, you know, he's got to have his backups going to come eventually.
You don't know. You didn't know.
Maybe I do, because I've been a fan for 75
because
years.
Because you're a genius. Yes. That's why you knew.
I can write
the show. You know that. I mean, you're obviously a tremendous talent. That's why you're on my show. You're supposed to be a producer. You talk more on this show than me. in all the fantasy draft shows we do, you're over huge. You're going to have your own podcast on Play It sooner rather than later. That's coming.
I'm doing a Taz post game.
Yeah. Well,
what did Taz really say today? He said he didn't get the push, and he got screwed over, and these guys are very lucky.
So, yeah, you're a tremendous talent. You're going to be have a podcast on Play It, where you can have shows that are behind the scenes, involve your guests, interact with your fans, and drive tune in. So that's basically, you know, that's basically where you are, bro.
We have a little directions here in the studio to tell you how to do a podcast.
You are a stooge.
And he just went over all
of them.
It
says Play It. One, drive tune in. Always tweet and post a day your podcast airs, man. Like, I didn't know that.
You never promote your show.
Yeah, I know. Number two, show behind the scenes. Think pitches, field notes.
We're sweating in the studio.
Is there something on there that says when I tweet something at the Play It Twitter, we'll tweet it or retweet it?
No.
Yeah, I don't see that. Yeah,
we're going to put the number five.
And we talked about the person on this floor. Where, is anybody on this floor don't like me? Did we say something
about
that?
You. Love the Taz.
All right, so look, I think that by having my man Ambrose take the belt and leave with the belt through the audience with Roman Reigns is a good hook to Raw tonight on Monday.
Sure. So Seth, and if this goes daddy, Triple H, to get his belt back.
So if you're listening to this after Raw, then, you know, it's kind of old news, I'm telling you. But that's basically what I think is cool. That's why they did it, so you can watch Raw and see how if and when, you know, the champion, Seth Rollins, will get his title belt back. And that's really it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this reaction to Elimination Chamber. There'll be other shows dropping this week right here on the Human Podcast Machine by me, Taz.
Boom.
I want to thank you, Seth, for being the lead host and the best talker in CBS Radio.
Thanks for being on my show.
Yeah, no problem. And it's great. Hopefully you hit record, and this is actually recording.
Oops.
And so you're too busy getting yourself over. But, all right, on that note, I am Taz. You are not. Thank you. Goodbye.